Uncle York's a fine old feller, gonna be our storyteller. Been around for a century, keeping an eye on you and me.
I'm your storyteller, Uncle York. I've been around a long time, and my eyes have seen everything that's ever happened in New York State. I have a story to tell you today, produced and transcribed by the New York State Department of Commerce. It's dedicated to the men and women everywhere through whose courage and enterprise we enjoy our freedom's blessings.
Down in the valley, valley so low, hang your head over, hear the wind blow.
Our story begins in a little town with a funny name. An Indian name that means the kettle that washes itself. The town is Canajoharie, which lies smack in the middle of the Mohawk Valley. In 1890, Canajoharie was hardly more than a crossroads, still half country. Well, it was a leisurely kind of life. Quiet days of wagon wheels on dirt streets, and the tingling smell of hickory smoke and a cow crossing in the main part of the town. But Canajoharie folks wasn't asleep. Far from it. A couple of fellas that smoked their own hams and bacon started selling them to other folks. And before you knew it, there was a full-fledged little company operating. One that took for itself a homespun kind of name, Beechnut. Well, sir, right from the start, almost as soon as there was a plant to speak of, these Beechnut fellas, including a man named Bartlett Arkell, were doing some kind of unusual things. Right about the time the first crusade for a pure food law had got underway, a man named Alfred McCann called at the new Beechnut factory.
Mr. Arkell, I can't tell you the pleasure it gives me to come upon a plant like yours. I just wish I could pick it up and carry it around as a model for other food processors to see. Why, a baby could play on the floor here.
Well, we have to maintain a high standard, Mr. McCann. We aim at quality more than quantity. And, of course, since our bacon is all packed by hand in the glass jars, the girls and the equipment have to be immaculately clean.
I understand you've pioneered in this vacuum glass jar.
Yes, and we're mighty proud of it. Of course, a lot of people think we've lost our minds here in Canajoharie. Think we're making a fetish of cleanliness.
Yeah, a fetish of cleanliness and a little glass jar. Both pretty important in our story of the Beechnut Company. And there's something else which any company which processes a food has to be able to do, and that's to be able to change with the times. Be flexible. For instance, when mechanical refrigerators were invented, they kind of outmoded the need for the glass jar of sliced bacon. The transparent wrapper came along, too, and it showed off the neat slices just as good as glass. So then, Beechnut began to develop other food lines to meet these changes in living and to meet changing tastes. Began making things like peanut butter, chewing gum, began roasting their own coffee, made tomato juice, biscuits, ginger ale, always emphasizing flavor and cleanliness above all. Proof of the pudding, you might say, was in what happened in the early 1930s. It all started in a grocery store in North Carolina. Clark Arkell, the son of Beechnut's founder, happened to stop in a store that was carrying the Beechnut line. And he happened to notice something on one of the grocery store shelves. Well, the grocer noticed he was kind of interested.
That stuff's selling like hotcakes, Mr. Arkell. Reckon we sell more of that than all the Beechnut line put together.
Baby food. You mean to say that's really catching on?
Yeah, sure is. Women really go for that. Can't say as I blame them. I remember the hours my wife used to put in the kitchen fixing vegetables and stuff for our kids when they were little. She'd have been mighty glad for something already put up like that. That's what you folks ought to be making up there in, where is it, Canajoharie?
Yeah, conversation just as simple as that sparked an idea in the mind of Clark Arkell. When he got back to Canal Johari, he didn't waste any time. He went ahead with his plan, starting off with a talk with his food chemist.
Got a job for you, Paul. You see this list of vegetables?
Oh, what's this? Green beans, spinach? What do you want us to do with this, Clark? A new line?
Could be, Paul. Now, listen, I've enlisted the services of a pediatrician, a baby specialist. We want a product a doctor can recommend, and one which a druggist or a grocer could stock.
Well, sir, months of experimenting went by. The test kitchen and laboratories were quietly buzzing with Arkell's new idea. Finally, it was ready. Clark Arkell asked the secretary of the company, Guy Sharp, to drop in the test kitchen.
Guy, got a surprise for you.
Yeah?
And a special assignment. Paul, you got those samples ready?
Yes, sir. Here they are. Good night. What on earth is this?
Baby food, Guy. Strained baby food. Just taste it. Paul, let him try the carrots.
Sure.
Go on, taste them.
All right. You're the boss. Hey, I'm no baby, but that's not hard to take. Nice and smooth, and well, it really tastes like carrots.
I'm glad you like it, Guy, because you're going to find out how to put it on the market.
Me? Sell baby food? But I've been working on peppermint for the chewing gum. Baby food?
Starting today, Guy, you're going to act as our baby food salesman. I want you to work out an introductory campaign.
I guess Guy Sharp figured if he was going to have to find out how to sell baby food, he'd have to first find out some of the problems mothers had when it came to feeding babies. So he talked to mothers, lots of them.
Oh, honestly, Mr. Sharp, you have no idea what a headache this could be. My little boy just hates eating his vegetables. Most of his dinner ends up on the floor or on the wall or all over me.
Well, they have to eat their vegetables, though. No substitute for them.
I know it. But heavens, did you ever try to puree a beet?
Well, no, not so far. But I may have to yet.
Well, I heard they're coming out with some kind of strain food in cans for babies, but I haven't tried them yet. Oh, golly, sometimes I wish babies could go straight from oatmeal to steak and potatoes.
Well, a few weeks went by, and then Clark Arkell called Guy Sharp into the beech nut test kitchen one day.
Guy, I think we're about set to go.
Great Scott, you haven't got the stuff in cans already, have you? How about the machinery for processing?
We're not putting it in cans. You remember the famous beech nut glass jar? Well, Guy, it's really coming into its own. Show him, Paul.
Yes, sir. There are several types, all set to go. Beets, spinach, green beans, carrots, prunes. They look pretty good, don't they?
Terrific. And look at that color. That glass jar really shows them up.
Mm-hmm. Now, so far, Guy, we've been sampling this food on real babies. We've worked with doctors,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know how women customers are going to react. I want you to lay out a whole campaign.
Well, Guy Sharp's first move was, naturally, to hire a woman. Yeah, a whole crew of them, in fact, fresh out of home economics colleges or nurses' training.
Miss Brown, we're going to send out these young ladies in nice, neat uniforms to give out samples and talk about our strained baby food. Now, I want you to call on grocers, druggists, pediatricians, talk to women's groups, plan exhibits at medical conventions. We want to place this line of baby foods in stores right along with other baby products. Mr. Arkell, I don't feel too encouraged by Miss Brown's first report.
Oh? Well, what's she say?
Well, here's the gist of it. Acceptance by medical profession, fine. Dealers they've contacted, just maybe. They want to know just how much consumer resistance they're apt to get.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell her to emphasize the vacuum jars.
Mm-hmm.
The purity.
Yeah.
Tell her to point out the work it saves.
Right.
Tell her to talk to mothers.
And when the next report came in from the girls in the field...
Samples going extremely well. Women very receptive.
fact that pediatricians have worked along in development is a big selling point, and the glass jar is a natural.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Life can be a lot pleasanter when you don't have to fuss and strain for hours around the kitchen. But the reports from the mothers were really the proof of the pudding.
You know, this baby food tastes simply wonderful. Why, you just set the jar in water and there you are. Now, if they do the same thing with fruits and meat and desserts, bringing up a baby would be a breeze.
Yeah, and they did that too. In fact, today there's hardly an item you could mention which a baby can eat that they haven't magically transformed into a tempting dish. It just goes to show a company can't stand still for a minute. It's got to be able to progress ahead of the times and the customs. Well, it wasn't long before baby food was on every grocery store shelf.
Uncle York's a fine old feller, gonna be our storyteller. Been around for a century, keeping an eye on you and me.
You know, it wouldn't be stretching things at all to say the story of Beechnut is a kind of capsule history of the whole big food processing industry in New York State. All the way from the farms where the foods are grown up to the time when they land, canned and packaged or frozen in your pantry or refrigerator, that flexibility we mentioned is all important. Food has always been big business in New York State with our tremendous population. But the folks that do the job of getting it ready for our table have to be one jump ahead all the time. People's tastes change. We learn more and more about nutrition. And people are using more and more processed foods because they've found they can save hours of work in the kitchen. Yes, sir, we're kind of lucky here in New York that we've got all these wide-awake folks, the men that spark the ideas on new ways of preparing our food, the people that work in the plants. They've all helped give us more time to enjoy our freedom's blessings.